Let's begin with the Gemara Masechet Shabbos Daf Tzadi Hei Amud Aleph, where the Gemara talks about Megabein on Shabbos. The Malacha of Megabein is that a person is not allowed to make cheese on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Megabein Mishum Mai Chayiv. Why am I not allowed to make cheese? Yes, I know we're learning Masechet Rosh Hashanah, but you'll see in a minute why this has a lot to do with what we're learning. So Megabein asks the Gemara, why is one Chayiv if you do the Malacha of Megabein on Shabbos making cheese? So the Gemara goes into a whole discussion, and finally it says, Megabein Chayiv Mishum Bona. You're going to be in violation of the malacha of bona. Why is it going to be bona? Because you used to have a bunch of particles that came from the milk, and now you're putting them all together to create a solid block of cheese, and therefore the Gemara assumes that that's called the malacha of bona. The Yerushalmi does not write that Megabin is Asr Mishim Bona. The Yerushalmi writes that the Isser involved in Megabin is the Isser of Lisha. You're not allowed to do a mixture on Shabbos. That's the same over here. You're mixing together all the different particles that come up from the milk, and therefore we assume that would be a violation of Lisha, of Lush on Shabbos. So the Rambam, when he quotes the halacha of Megabein, of making cheese on Shabbos, the Rambam writes that Yechai Mishim Bona, which is the simple understanding of our Gemara as well. And the Chai Yadam then extends it and he says, if you're really Chai Mishim Bona, it doesn't only apply to cheese alone, but it applies also to, let's say, I have a bunch of fruits that were drying on the roof, and now they're all sticky, and I'm going to take one and put it next to the other, put it next to the other, I'm going to put all them together and now create along something, so the Chayyadim writes that would be a violation of Bona on Shabbos as well. The same way putting all the different particles of cheese together is a malacha, so too putting together all the different fruits. And this is why nowadays we have a major shaila about making sushi on Shabbos. Is that a problem of Bona? Do we say there's Bona on something like that, or do you say it's so temporary it's going to be taken apart right away? Maybe there shouldn't be Bona. It's a major discussion, very interesting one, but this is basically where it stems from. It comes from the Gemara by Megabein, by making cheese. So the Chayyadim points out that even though there would seem to be a machlokas between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, the Chayyadim writes that this really is not a machlokas at all. They're talking about two different scenarios. Our Gemara in the Bavli, which says that if a person makes cheese on Shabbos, they're going to violate the malach of Bona. Our Gemara is talking about where you want it to be a very particular shape. You want it to come out in a square or in a circle or in an oval. You want it to look in a certain way. So that's Bona. You're making something beautiful, and you want it to come out looking in a certain way. The Yerushalmi is describing a different case. The Yerushalmi is talking about a case where nobody cares the way it looks. All you're doing is collecting all of it together, making it into a block of cheese. Do you care if it's square? Do you care if it's circle? Do you care if it's round? Do you care if it looks nice? No, you don't care. And therefore, in a case like that, we don't call it Bona because you're not making a structure in the end. All you're doing is Lisha. You're putting everything together. That would be a violation of Lisha. So that's the way the Chayyadim explains both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi to say that there is no machlokas at all. Based on this introduction, based on this Gemara that teaches us that if you make cheese on Shabbos, you're going to violate the malacha of Bona, Tosas writes in Masechet Shabbos the following. Tosas wonders, is there going to be a violation of Bona on Yom Tov the same way Bona is a malacha on Shabbos? So, we know that all the 39 malachas carry over to Yom Tov the same way they apply on Shabbos. So why shouldn't there be a malacha of Bona? I'm allowed to go and build my house on Yom Tov? Why would I be allowed to do such a thing? I'm not allowed to build a house on Shabbos, so why can I build a house on Yom Tov? Tosa says, no. After all, we have a halacha with regard to Hilchas Yom Tov. Mitoch shehutra letzorech achol nefesh, hutra nami for other things. So over here, if I'm allowed to make cheese on Yom Tov because of achol nefesh, and you're going to tell me that making cheese is a violation of Bona, but we still allow it on Yom Tov. So Tosa says, then you're allowed to go build your house on Yom Tov, because mitoch shehutra, once I'm allowed to do it for the tzorach of ochel nefesh, for making the cheese, so now I'm allowed to do it for other purposes as well. So it would be heter gomer, Tosu says. However, he writes, midrabanan, they came along and said, you're not allowed to do it. Why? Because they said, it's uvda dechol. It's not right. What, are you going to go and build your house on Yom Tov just because of mitoch? That's not really proper. But strictly speaking, based on the dinim d'araisa, Tosu argues, there would be no problem at all. One would be allowed to go ahead and violate, so to speak, the malacha of bona b'Yom Tov, because we learn out the law of mitoch from making the cheese on Yom Tov. Now, the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam very strongly disagrees in Hilchas Yom Tov, and the Rambam says in Perek Aleph Halacha Dalet of Hilchas Yom Tov that if somebody goes ahead and builds any structure on Yom Tov, they will be in violation of Malacha of Bona. The same way you'll be in violation of Malacha of Bona Midarais on Shabbos if you build something. So the Rambam does not distinguish at all. Now, the Achronim are bothered. What do you mean? Doesn't Tosas put forth a good argument? If you're going to tell me that making cheese on Shabbos is a violation of Bona, And you're allowed to make the cheese on Yom Tov because Ochel Nefesh permits you to do it, so Tosas put forth a good argument. Mitoch Shehutra, once you're allowed to do it for the Gvina, for the cheese, you should be allowed to do it for anything else also. How does the Rambam disagree? Why does the Rambam say you're allowed to go ahead and, I'm sorry, that you're allowed to go ahead and make the cheese on Yom Tov, but you wouldn't be allowed to go ahead and do a different violation of Bona on Yom Tov? What's the difference? Why don't you say Mitoch? So all the classical Acharonim say one basic teretz. There are a lot of terutzim, but the classical teretz that's given by the Avnei Nezer has it both in the Tshuvas as well as in the Eglei Talon Ochel Shabbos, and the Chassam Sofer has it. Other Acharonim say the same thing, that the answer is very simple. The only time we say Mitoch, the only time we say once it's Mutter for this, it's Mutter for that, is when you're talking about an Av to an Av, when you're talking about a Malacha D'Araisa to Malacha D'Araisa, or an Av to a Tolda, when you're talking about something in the primary category of Malacha, then you trickle it down that the secondary category of that Malacha is going to be permissible as well on Yom Tov, since the primary category is permissible. However, says the Avnei Nezer, when I have something that is only a tolda in the first place, for example, making the cheese, that's not real bona, that's not real bake, that's not real building on Shabbos, you're not really creating a structure, that's a tolda of bona, that's an outgrowth, that's a secondary category of bona, and therefore, says the Avnei Nezer, just because we're makel and we allow you to go ahead and do and violate the secondary category of bona, it doesn't go backward and allow you to violate the primary category of bona, which would be building a house. So that's the answer. And therefore, Rambam is able to come out and say that even though you're allowed to violate the aveira of bona, the secondary violation of bona, and you're allowed to go and make the cheese on Yom Tov Mishum Ochel Nefesh, still the Rambam is going to say you're not allowed to go ahead and violate any other aspect of bona be Yom Tov, because that would be a primary malacha, which was never allowed at all. So that's the way they answer the Shitas HaRambam. But again, we have a machlokas here between Tosas and the Rambam. What is the status of the malacha of bona b'yamtiv? The Rambam argues that bona remains the same, unless it's for ochel nefesh purposes, then it's allowed. But bona, strictly speaking, bona remains the same, issa d'araisa, the same way on yamtiv as it is on Shabbos, nothing to talk about. And Tosas says, not at all. Tosas says, mid'araisa, this would be absolutely permissible, heter gamer, to go and build whatever you want on yamtiv, because you can institute that principle of, you can implement that principle of mitoch, and say that since it's allowed to make the cheese, which is a derivative of bona, so too you're allowed to violate the regular malacha of bona b'yamtif as well, even if it's not for the purpose of ochel nefesh. Now, with that machlokas, Tosas, and the Rambam in mind, you'll now appreciate the beautiful kasha that the Achronim ask. We have a Gemara Maseches Shavuos Daf Tesvav. Rashi in our sugya and Daf Lamed quotes the Gemara Maseches Shavuos Daf Tesvav. The Gemara Maseches Shavuos says you're not allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash at night, and you're also not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tov, because the Malacha of Bona is not able to be violated when it comes to building the Beis HaMikdash. After all, it says, as Shabsose Tishmoru, Rashi tells us that means not only Shabbos, it's carried over to Yom Tov as well. So therefore, you're not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash, Mikdashi Tiro. Sorry, that's the main part of the Drasha. Shabsose Tishmoru, Mikdashi Tiro, that the Beis HaMikdash, building the Beis HaMikdash, is not Doche Shabbos or Yom Tov. So the Achronim asked the following question. Just parenthetically, before we get into the Kasha on our sugya, Achronim asked, we know by Shivas Yimei HaMiluim, Moshe Rabbeinu had a mitzvah that he had to put up the Beis HaMikdash every day and take it back down every day, every night. So you have to do it every day for 7 days straight. In higher mathematics, you can't have a 7 day period without having a Shabbos somewhere in there. So whenever the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim started, there was always going to be a Shabbos somewhere in between there. So why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu was allowed to do that if, after all, we know the halacha is, as Shabsosai Tishmor Mikdashi Tiro, you're not allowed to build a Mishkan or a Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, because that would be a violation of Bona. So that's the kasha that many Achronim ask, what was the story with the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim? So the Aruch Haner answers very simply, no, the answer is that was a Harasha. That was a one-time exception to the rule. Moshe Rabbeinu had at Tzivu, he had a Harasha that he has to build the Mishkan every day for 7 days, and therefore we say that includes Shabbos. Even though generally the law is you're not supposed to build on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do anything for the Beis HaMikdash, which violates the laws of Shabbos in terms of building it. Over here was an exception to the rule. Okay, that's always an easy answer out of anything. It's an exception to the rule, so there's no question. But other Achronim don't want to say that. The Chassam Sofer wants the answer that no. Maybe the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was allowed to do it is because Moshe Rabbeinu was talking about a binyan l'sha'ah. Moshe Rabbeinu was only putting up a temporary structure. After all, he put it up every day, took it down every night. So therefore, if Moshe Rabbeinu was only making a temporary structure, perhaps when you do something of that nature, it's not a violation of Malacha of Bona b'Shabbos Yantif. Why? Because Bona is only when you're going to have something that's going to be everlasting, that's going to be a real binyan, something that's really going to be a strong binyan. So the Chasam Sofer argues, since it's a binyan l'sha, it's only for a temporary purpose, therefore that would not be considered a violation of bona. And he brings a proof to this from the Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi wants to know, if we learn all the lamites of his melachas from the creation of the Mishkan, from the building of the Mishkan, the Yerushalmi asks in Maseches Shabbos, where was the melacha of bona b'mishkan? Where did they violate? So Yerushalmi says, what do you mean, where did they violate bona b'mishkan? When they put the krushim on. What's the question? Of course. That's obvious. What? So the Yerushalmi says, what do you mean? That's not a violation of bona. They took it apart every day. So the Yerushalmi says, that's only a binyan l'shah. You didn't do that for the long term. That was only for the short term. When you have something that's only for a short term, that's not considered a violation of bona. So back and forth, the Yerushalmi is 2 days. And says the Chasam Sofer, maybe that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was allowed to build the Mishkan, even though it was Shabbos, not because it was a harasha, rather because this was a temporary structure. Before we get to your question, this is very relevant. It's relevant because the Navi Yehuda talks about the minig of opening an umbrella on Shabbos, the dinner. You're allowed to open an umbrella on Shabbos, it's pouring cats and dogs outside, we have an Eruv. I don't want to get wet. Oh, so that's the question. What about opening an umbrella on Shabbos? Why shouldn't I be allowed to do it? What are you going to say? What's the violation of opening an umbrella? You say it's bona. What's the bona? I'm only going to have it for 10 minutes till I get home. Once I get home, I'm going to close it up. So that's only a binyan l'sha. A binyan l'sha, many achronim say, is not permissible on Shabbos. So this Chasam Sofer's answer is not so simple. Not so simple at all. And in fact, that's the shaila in the Yerushalmi itself, whether we assume that a binyan l'sha is considered a violation of malacha of bona, or do we say no, doesn't even get into the category of bona at all. Yeah. Did Moshe Rabbeinu build by himself? That's a great question. The Gemara learns out in Menachos Daf Tzadi Tes, Mala Makodesh Ve'im Aridin. It's a very good question. The Gemara learns out the din Mala Makodesh Ve'im Aridin from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu built the Mishkan, Vayaka Moshe as HaMishkan, Umedilosiyu Echal HaKohanim. What do you mean? Everybody sees the old man Moshe Rabbeinu all hunched over, and he's the one who's building the Mishkan by himself. Nobody could bother to help him. Nobody has respect for Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Gemara must be Mala Makodesh Ve'im Aridin. Since Moshe Rabbeinu was given the mitzvah, it would be a harada b'kedusha if anyone else would get involved. So nobody else got involved. Moshe Rabbeinu did it by himself. That's what the Gemara seems to say. Which is a... Okay.
So then he didn't build it.
Okay, but the simple understanding is that Moshe Rabbeinu did build it. He was the one involved. Yeah. Okay. So, again, we have the Machlokas Tosas and the Rambam, whether Bona on Yom Tov will be an Issa D'Araisa just like on Shabbos, or do you say no, Bona on Yom Tov is going to be permissible. Why? Because we have Mitoch, since you're allowed to make the cheese on Yom Tov for Ochel Nefesh, therefore we go backwards and we say, also you're allowed to violate the regular Melacha of Bona on Yom Tov. That's the opinion of Tosas. Tosas says, you get out on a technicality, you're not allowed to do it anyway because it Uvda D'Chol. Okay, but Uvda D'Chol is a side story, that's a D'Rabbanan. On a level of D'Araisa, Tosas says you would be allowed to build on Yom Tov. So now, the Acharonim take the Kasha further and they say, I don't understand. If you learn like the Rambam that says that Bona on Yom Tov is just as Usur as it is on Shabbos, and we don't use the Svar of Mitoch to allow it, so then I understand why the Gemara says in Shavuos Daf Tesvav that you're not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Why? Because you have a Melacha D'Araisa. But if you learn like Tosus that really this is only a Din Midrabanan, that all we're dealing with here is the Din D'Rabbanan of Uvda D'Chol, but on a level of D'Araisa you'd be allowed to do the Malacha of Bona B'Yom Tov because we apply the principle of Mitoch, so then why does the Gemara tell us you're not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tov? Why not? You should be allowed to do it because at worst, all you're dealing with is a violation Midrabanan of Uvda D'Chol. Uvda D'Chol, we say Ein Shavuos B'Mikdash. We should say Ein Shavuos B'Mikdash. We should say a Din D'Rabbanan doesn't apply to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash at all. One should be allowed to go ahead and build a Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tov. And what's pshat in the Gemara? How does Tosas explain in the Gemara Maseches Shavuos that you're not allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tov? I think it's an unbelievable kasha. Some Sofer's kasha, other Achronim ask it also. An unbelievable kasha. If you learn like Tosas that really Bona on Yom Tov is not a violation Midaraisa, it's only Midarabana because of Uvda D'Chol, why does the Gemara tell us that you're not allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tov? So the answer is follows. So the Achronim answer is follows. Many answers are given, but the Achronim say as follows. Yes, you can learn from the fact that you're allowed to make cheese on Yom Tov that now you're also allowed to do other forms of Bona B'Yom Tov, and therefore really you're not allowed to, you would be allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash because there's no Malacha at all. However, you still have the problem of Makabe Patish. So the Bona only allows you to build, but the Makabe Patish, finishing it off and being Sod Besid and doing all the rest of the activity for building the Beis HaMikdash, that would be a problem. And that's what the Gemara says. You're not allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tov, not because of the Malacha of Bona, but rather because of Makkah B'Patish. Rather because of Makkah B'Patish. So you'll ask, when I go ahead and make cheese, don't I violate Makkah B'Patish also? Because if I want the cheese, like the Chayyadim explained, I want the cheese to be nicely rounded, smoothed out, I want everything to be perfect the way it is. When I make my sushi, it should be very nice, able to eat it very nicely, easily. So isn't that also Makkah B'Patish? And once we allow Bona and Makkah B'Patish for making the sushi and the cheese, we should allow it also for making the Beis HaMikdash? No? What's the answer? Answer is very simple. The Bir Halacha writes in Masechta Shabbos that there's no din Makkah B'Patish by food. Because you're not really that careful. Yeah, nowadays we have craziness that we're careful. This, but really, Meikar HaDin, we're not so careful that everything has to be just perfect, just like the way I would build a house, that every piece of paint, everything in the house has to be just so. So therefore, again, Tosas learns in the Gemara, why is it that the Gemara says you're not allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tov? Not because of what you thought, not because of the Malach of Bona, because in my opinion, says Tosas, Bona doesn't apply at all. We have a heter from making the cheese that Bona doesn't apply, mitoch shuchu lacha nefesh, shuchu nami for this. However, the whole problem in the Gemara is Makkah B'Patish. How are you going to do the finishing touches on the Beis HaMikdash? Since Makkah B'Patish is in the way, therefore Tosas says, that's why the Gemara tells us you're not allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tov, just like you're not allowed to build it on Shabbos. Aye, by making the cheese itself, you also do Makkah B'Patish? Yeah, but the Bir Halacha answers that there's no such thing as Makkah B'Patish by Ochlin. Take, for example, the Stipler has a famous kasha where he wants to know, the Gemara says there's such a thing as halachic bishul. Not everything is considered bishul. So let's say I take an egg and I crack it. It's boiling hot. I'm in the desert in Nevada. I take a pan. I leave it out in the sun on Shabbos. Would I be in violation of the malacha of bishul b'Shabbos? No. Why not? Because hamavasha b'chama, the Gemara says, you don't meet the requirement of halachic bishul. You have to have a fire. That's the only time you're going to be in violation of bishul. And therefore, if you're mavasha b'chama, or Bechame Tiveria, if you go ahead and use the hot springs, or you use a sun beating down hard onto your egg in the middle of the Sahara Desert, we wouldn't say that that's a violation of Bishul, even though you're bringing about the same result. Even though your eggs are getting cooked, that's not called halachic Bishul. That's the halacha, that's the way we paskin. So the Stipler asks a very obvious question. He says, okay, so you got off, you don't have Bishul, because you didn't fulfill the requirement. What about Makkah B'Patish? I wanted to have a sunny side up. I cracked the egg, I put it in the pot. Now it's baking in the sun, I have a beautiful outcome, I have exactly what I wanted. So isn't that Makkah B'Patish? So what that you got off on the bishul? But what about the Makkah B'Patish? What about the fact that I have a beautiful food item that I wanted cooked just the way it's cooked? It came out looking as beautiful as it's supposed to look. Why don't I have Makkah B'Patish? What?
Don't you have to do something?
I did something. What do you mean? I'm sitting there with all my instruments, I'm making it everything, I'm doing everything. So why don't I violate Makkah B'Patish? The answer is because there's no Makkah B'Patish by Ochlin. That's the cloud of the Bir Halacha, that we don't have such a thing when it comes to Ochlin. So anyway, the problem with all this is that our Gemara assumes that the Beis HaMikdash could be built on Yom Tov or Balayla. Right? Our Gemara has Meher Yibana Beis HaMikdash, and they were concerned that maybe we're going to make a mistake. Ishtaket, last year we had this, we had that. So the Gemara wants to know, when was the Beis HaMikdash built? Rashi here in our sugya quotes the Gemara in Shavuos, where the Gemara says, you're not allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash in Yom Tov, you're not allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash Balayla. So what does it mean over here when we say that you're allowed to build it? So Rashi says over here, the answer is as follows. The Machlokes HaRishonim, how do you understand why our Gemara says you're allowed to build it, even though it goes against the Gemara Masechta Shavuos that says the rules are you cannot build a Beis HaMikdash Balayla, and you cannot build a Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tov. So how do you explain our Gemara, which seems to indicate on Daf Lamed that you are allowed to build it, even though generally we assume you can't? So Rashi says no. Answer is, our Gemara is talking about the third Beis HaMikdash. When it comes to the third Beis HaMikdash, it's going to come Ba'esh Min HaShamayim. We're not going to do anything, so why can the Beis HaMikdash be built on a Shabbos? What's the problem? Why can it be built on a Yom Tov? We're not doing anything. The Ribbono Shel Olam is doing the whole thing. Everything's coming down Min HaShamayim. That's the answer that Rashi gives. The Rambam clearly states not so. The Rambam writes in Ilchas Melachim that the third Beis HaMikdash is going to be built by the Melech HaMashiach. He's going to come, he's going to build the Beis HaMikdash, we're all going to join in, we're going to have an active role in building the Beis HaMikdash. So the Rambam clearly cannot answer like Rashi in our sugya. So how does the Rambam understand our Gemara? So that's a good question. Rashi himself in Masechta Sukkah writes not so. Rashi himself writes in Masechta Sukkah like the Rambam as well. Rashi says the Gemara Sukkah quotes a pasuk where we call Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David, they're referred to as the Charashim, the people who are doing work on the fields. So Rashi says, why do we call them, why do we give them this appellation of Charashim? What's so special about them? Because they're going to be the ones to build the Beis HaMikdash. So Rashi himself says like the Rambam. So Stam, there's a steer in Rashi's, how do you understand what is going to be by the third Beis Hamikdash? Anyway, Rashi in our Gemara says the reason why they were able to have it built on Yom Tov is because we're not going to build it. It's going to be built by the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. It's going to be Yorid Be'esh Min HaShamayim, and therefore there's nothing to be concerned about. The Meiri in our Sugya says Mamash Apela V'Teretz. The Meiri says, no, our Gemara doesn't mean to say that you're allowed to build it. Rather, our Gemara means to say that everyone's going to be so excited and such a tizzy at the time of the Beis Hamikdash, at the time of Mashiach, that we're going to forget that it's Shabbos, we're going to forget that it's Yom Tov. Not that you're allowed to, but our Gemara is just saying practically, of course we're going to. If Mashiach shows up on the Yom Tov, the first thing we're going to do is forget about the fact that it's Pesach, forget about the fact that it's Shavuos, forget about the fact that it's Sukkot. We're going to go do the Malacha right away, and we're going to build the Beis Hamikdash. How can that be? I don't know. It's hard to understand. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be here, and Aaron HaKohen, and they're just going to let that go. Everyone's going to forget. No one's going to remember. I don't know. That's the Meiri in our Sugya, which also the assumption of the Meiri is, like the Menachas Chinuch writes, that when we say you're not allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash Balayla or on Yom Tov means it's an Isser, not that it's a Paslos, just that it's an Isser. So if you end up building, says the Menachas Chinuch, if you end up building against the rules, if you don't follow rules and you build it on Shabbos or Yom Tov or at night, Menachas Chinuch argues the Beis HaMikdash is going to be kosher to use anyway. Just you violate an Isser, you're going to have to work it out with God what punishment you deserve for that. But it's not that you have to knock down the Beis HaMikdash and build it again because the building was bepaslus. Rather, you violated an outside iser of the rules of building a Beis HaMikdash. Anyway, that's with regard to our Gemara, and it's a very difficult Gemara to understand. That's why all the Rishonim are having a hard time trying to make sense out of our Gemara. There is a Menchas Chinuch, where the Menchas Chinuch talks about a Gemara in... The Gemara has a machlokas in Maseches Tainus. That machlokas is really based on a pasuk in Parashas Shmini, where the pasuk tells us that a kohen is not allowed to go and do the avod in the Beis Hamikdash shusuye yayin. Yayin v'shecher al teish. We're told after Nadav and Abihu passed away that Aaron HaKohen was given the mitzvah that he's not allowed to go into the Beis Hamikdash after he is inebriated, after he has drank wine, he's not allowed to enter. And the Rishonim discuss, does this mean just entering the Beis Hamikdash alone is already a violation, or is it only if I do Avodah I'm going to be in violation? The Rambam says even just violating alone, without doing any Avodah, just entering alone is going to be a violation. So the Gemara picks up on that Isser of a kohen drinking wine. So the Gemara wants to know, what about Bezman Hazeh? What about nowadays? We don't have a Beis Hamikdash, but we do believe, in the back of our hearts, we do believe that there's going to be a Beis Hamikdash. So if I'm a kohen, and I'm going to be drunk, and now the Beis HaMikdash is built, what's going to be? I'm not going to be able to go do my avoda. So the Gemara has a machlokas Rebbe Nechachamim. Maybe we should say that Kohanim are not allowed to drink wine ever because we're concerned that maybe Meher Yibon Beis HaMikdash, and then they're not going to be able to go in. They're not going to be able to have any part in the service in the Beis HaMikdash until tomorrow. But again, we need someone today. So maybe the Gemara says, maybe the Chacham tell us you're not allowed to ever have a kohen drink wine. And Rebbe disagrees. Rebbe says, no, come on. It's been so many years since we had a Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, we believe there's going to be a Beis HaMikdash, but what's the probability that the chance that the one time, you know, the one day that you happen to be drunk, Beis HaMikdash is going to be built right then? Well, you don't have to worry about it. That's what Rebbe's opinion is. So this is a machlokas in the Gemara, whether a kohen is allowed to drink wine, bizman hazeh, or do we assume not? The Rambam paskens like Rebbe, thankfully, that a kohen is allowed to drink wine, bizman hazeh, and we don't have to be concerned because, number one, a kohen doesn't really know which week of the year he's going to be working. And not only that, says the Rambam, yeah, the Beis HaMikdash has been Bechurbana for so long, what's the probability, what's the chance that it's going to be built punk today when I happen to be so stone drunk I don't know what I'm doing? It's not such a high probability, and therefore the Rambam says that a kohen would be allowed to drink wine. Ask the Menchas Chinuch. But in the Shita of the Chachamim are of the opinion that what? Kohen Bizman Hazeh is not allowed to drink wine. So again, it's not the way we paskin, but the Shita of the Chachamim in the Gemara. Ask the Menchas Chinuch. Why shouldn't they be allowed to drink wine on Shabbos or Yom Tov? Shabbos or Yom Tov can't build the Beis HaMikdash. So even if Mashiach shows up on Shabbos, even if Mashiach shows up on Yom Tov, there's nothing to worry about. In fact, we have a Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara says, Hareini Nazir. Someone takes upon themselves that I want to be a Nazir. The Yom Sheben David Ba. Not that I want to be a Nazir today. I want to be a Nazir the day that Mashiach shows up. The day that Mashiach comes onto the scene. The Gemara says, I'm allowed to drink wine on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Why? Because Mashiach is not going to come on Shabbos and Yom Tov. During the week, I'm not allowed to because maybe Mashiach is going to show up today, then I'm going to be in violation. But any other day of the week, Shabbos and Yom Tov, which Mashiach is not going to show up on those days, we have nothing to worry about. And a person can drink wine. So too over here, ask the Menchas Chinuch. Why don't you tell the person that they should be allowed to go ahead the Kohen, and drink the wine, even Bizman Hazeh, on Shabbos and Yantav, because Beis HaMikdash is not going to be built. Says the Menchas Chinuch, it's incorrect. It's incorrect, why? Because Rashi in our sugya says that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to build the Beis HaMikdash. It's going to be Yored Be'esh Min HaShamayim. If you learn like Rashi, why can't the Beis HaMikdash show up? Yeah, the Gemara says Mashiach and Eliyahu HaNavi can't come on Shabbos and Yantav. Why? Because there's Tchum issues, how they're going to get from upstairs to down here. I don't know, it's a whole major problem. And how do you explain how Eliyahu HaNavi goes to all the brisin all the time, even when there's a bris on Shabbos here and in Honolulu? How does he get everywhere? It's a good question. That's why we welcome Zeakis Yishel Eliyahu HaNavi Zechalato. We say, at the time of the bris, he's a Navi. He's not just Eliyahu HaTishbi. He's not showing up as an individual, as a human being. He's showing up as a Navi. So a Navi, maybe as a Malach, he's able to have different rules. I don't know exactly how it works. But basically, that's what the Minchas Chinuch answers, that if you learn like Rashi in our sugya, that Rashi says that the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi is going to be Yared Be'esh Min HaShamayim, then it makes a lot of sense. There's nothing to be concerned about. I'm sorry. Then you have what to be concerned about, because if the Beis HaMikdash can show up even on Shabbos, then you never know. Maybe it will come on Shabbos and we'll have a problem. So the Aruch Laner asked an obvious kasha, and he says, well, don't we know that we daven all the time? And in fact, if you look in our Gemara, what's the Lashon HaGemara? Mehera Yibona Beis HaMikdash. He says, if you're correct, Rashi, that really it's just going to come in HaShamayim, it should say, not Mehera Yibana, not that we should build it, but Mehera Yigala. It should be revealed. It's there already. It's Be'esh Min HaShamayim. All we want is that God should uncover it and send it down to the world. But he's not going to build it. It's already made. So the Aruch Laner doesn't understand how this fits in and what exactly it means. So says the Aruch Laner, maybe it means the same way in a body you have a guf and a neshama, and you need to have the ruchnius and the gashmius together. So really what's going to happen, Liyasilavo, is we're going to build the physical structure of the Beis HaMikdash. After we're done, God is going to superimpose his Beis HaMikdash, the ruchnius, the neshama, inside of our Beis HaMikdash. And then we're going to have the super Beis HaMikdash made of both our handiwork and of the Ribbono Shel Olam's handiwork at the same time. No, it's a fancy shot, but that's the way he writes. The Maral Diskin has an unbelievable comment where the Maral Diskin explains what it means in our davening when we say Bnei Beischa Kivatchila V'chonim Nikdashcha Al Mechono V'Hareinu B'Vinyano V'Samcheinu B'Sikuno. Very famous shot of the Maral Diskin where he says, I read you his lashon. Sarach Lahavin Ma'wa Kavana B'Tikuno. What does it mean V'Samcheinu B'Tikuno? Meaning we're praying that the Beis Hamikdash should be a stuffed up toilet in the Beis Hamikdash. V'samcheinu, when I get to bet the plumber, you should make me happy that I get to fix it. And a screw should fall out of the mizbeach in order that when I have the screwdriver, I'll go and be somesamech. Why are we davening for that? We should daven that everything should be just perfect and it shouldn't fall apart. So what exactly is the tefillah? V'samcheinu b'tikuno? You should be mesameach us with the fact that things aren't going to work right and then we're going to have to fix them? What's the tefillah? V'gam shal adoni mervi rabbi zatzal, kasher yadua ki bini beis habachir hu achas mi mitzvah hasei. As we know, one of the mitzvahs say that we know of is to build a Beis HaMikdash. As the Rambam writes in Mitzvah Chav, Im kein yizbatalanu mitzvahs haseh shal binin HaMikdash? What do you mean? If you're going to say like Rashi that the third Beis HaMikdash is going to come be'esh min HaShamayim, so then we're just getting rid of a mitzvah? Why are we assuming that the mitzvah is going to be obsolete? B'tiksha l'man d'amar e mitzvahs b'telas l'asalova. What's going to happen to this mitzvah? How come we're not going to be obligated to do the mitzvah if after all the Rambam says this is one of the Tariq mitzvahs? So he says, no. Ella, what's really going to happen is as follows. L'tovasam shel Yisrael, yashir HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'habinyan eze dvarim kitanim l'saknam. What's going to happen is, yes, the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to send us down to Beis HaMikdash that's 98% finished. But he's going to leave parts of it over for us to complete. Not that there's going to be a screw falls out of the Beis HaMikdash and we're going to have to fix it and it's going to be an No. From the outset, the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to bring it down as an incomplete binyan that he wants us to finish off. And he gets into a whole discussion here and he says the same way the Ribbono Shel Olam created us incomplete and he wants us to finish off the human body by doing the bris milah, by perfecting ourselves. That's what he always wants us to do. He wants us to invest and also help to perfect the world. And therefore says the Maral Diskin as follows. Zeu habakasha b'tfila. This is the double bakasha that we ask for. V'hareinu b'vinyano. We should have the great merit of seeing the binyan. Not that we're going to build it, but we want to see it, because you're the one who's going to send down 98% of the building by itself. So we want that we should be able to see it. But also v'samcheinu b'tikuno. Allow us to have the great fortune of doing the last finishing touches on the Beis HaMikdash. That's what we daven for. That's what we ask for. And here says the Maral Diskin is perhaps what it means that yes, of course the mitzvah that the Rambam says a binyan Beis HaMikdash is going to apply evenly asad lavo. The Rambam can say it's one of the Tariq mitzvahs. So what does it mean? What it means is, yeah, we're not going to have to do it from scratch. Most is going to be done without us. But obviously, we're going to have the opportunity of Samchena B'tikuno. We're going to have the chance to have a simcha as we involve ourselves a little bit in this mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash. A lot more to talk about the Machlokas, the Rashi, and the Rambam. If you have a chance, I have one volume of Rav Amar's Tshuvas at home. Obviously, he's an incredible writer. He has beautiful Tshuvas, but one Tshuva in his Sefer, I think it's Chelek Zion, the one I have at home. So there he has a whole piece where he doesn't talk about this, but he talks about the Machlokas, Rashi, and the Rambam. And if you're interested in this whole topic, he has a lot of Midrashim, and he quotes Rashi and the Rambam Lishitaso all over the place to explain why it is that each one had the opinion that they had about what's going to be the status, what's going to be the building of the third Beis HaMikdash. Okay.